Like him or not, Trump is uniquely suited for such a time as this. That's the title of an article that appeared recently. It was written by Scott Powell. He joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Scott, it's great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Sure. And you are a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute. And this is an article you wrote for American Thinker. We'll post to the article itself. Explain the article and the point you're trying to make.
Well, the fundamental point of the article is that the greatest crime against the United States has just been committed. It has been committed by a cabal of primarily Democratic Party opponents who have worked together to undermine the candidacy of President Trump before he was elected, and then when, surprisingly, he was elected, they continued the very same efforts and even amped them up to destroy the Trump presidency. This is the greatest crime against America. And it's the greatest crime because of the nature, the founding, and the whole, let's call America having a persona based on its constitution that stresses the unalienable rights of citizens, and that the governing authority gains legitimacy only through the people. The people vote for the government. And if they vote for a bad government, they have the opportunity to vote that government out. And if there are crimes committed, high crimes and misdemeanors, then and only then would an impeachment of the president be appropriate.
So, in effect, what you've got is people who were dissatisfied with the 2016 election results, and they're monkeying with the system in ways that, okay, they might hate Trump now, but they may be breaking the system, in effect, for future times.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, one could argue that we've gotten to this place of this crime being committed against our country because we didn't enforce the laws of previous lawbreakers. You know, for instance, when Lois Lerner, the high-level functionary in the Social Security Agency,
the IRS, right,
and she was in charge of nonprofit organizations, when she stonewalled and prevented the registration of these many nonprofits,
Tea Party
years in 2011, 2012, leading up to the election. She violated the law in a gross fashion. There were no consequences to her.
No, you're right.
When Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was abusing her office and raising money for the Clinton Foundation, and she was covering it all up with a private email server, and then she destroyed evidence, these were felonies. And there was no prosecution. There was no indictments, no prosecution. So we have empowered lawbreakers to keep going down that path to seize political power.
Couldn't they make an example out of somebody like John McCabe? I mean, was it Andrew McCabe or whatever, or Comey? You know, in other words, take a few of the lower level.
Of course they could, but I think that the time has come where We don't just make one example of a mid-level person, but we enforce the law. If you break the law and you compromise national security, then you definitely want to prosecute those people. And this has been done in a rather wholesale manner, and now we're living in its aftermath.
Yeah.
And the United States, the Constitutional Republic of the United States, is under threat now. We are closer to the demise of our country than perhaps at any previous time.
That's amazing. You know, this is an interesting point. March 4, 1797 was one of the most significant days in world history, and most people don't even think about it. What happened? Well, President George Washington, the first president under the U.S. Constitution, step down after two terms. He didn't want to be like a king or a monarch, you know, and just rule a year. He could have been elected until he died, really.
That's right.
But he transitioned power, and John Adams peacefully became our second president under the Constitution on that date. And so this peaceful transition in power is actually unique in many ways in world history. History is strewn with examples of, you know, one sibling will literally put to death, you know, multiple siblings. You see this in the Bible. You see this in many of the Shakespeare's plays and so forth. And so what the United States created is so fantastic. And these liberals that stand behind what Hillary did, and I guess some of this was done, frankly, with Obama administration officials. Whether he knew or didn't know, I don't know. But even liberals who agree with the policies of Clinton et al. Should disagree with what they're doing to the country itself. And do you see this impeachment inquiry as part of the same process, in effect?
Oh, absolutely. It is, and you know, it is a conspiracy to overturn the election of 2016, pure and simple, and to undermine any possibility that Trump could be reelected. And so they're not really interested in a true impeachment. They want to hold these one-sided hearings behind closed doors and leak information to the media. This is their strategy. Look how they have used the media.
Yeah, the media.
The media are working hand in glove with the Democratic Party to undermine Donald Trump. And, you know, it's quite remarkable that they actually are having a hard time getting hard evidence to undermine him, because he's a fairly smart guy and he has been fairly careful about what he's done. There's no evidence of any high crime or misdemeanor. The most recent thing, this Ukrainian initiative now, you know, the Russian collusion was, you know, was proven false, a hoax, if you will, and now it's a Ukrainian collusion. Well, turns out when Trump released his speech with the president of the Ukraine, there was nothing in there that suggested that he was doing anything inappropriate.
Now
he was reminding them of the need to deal with corruption, because Ukraine had a big problem with corruption. But as far as the specifics or imposing any agenda against Joe Biden, no, there was no such words or evidence, and yet, you know, this campaign continues. It's basically, the Democrats have figured out that American people are busy people. They cannot follow all of these scandals. And so if they create enough smoke around Donald Trump, just smoke, mind you, they will get to a point where, gee, there's so much smoke, there must be a fire.
Right.
And if we get rid of Donald Trump, the fire will abate and go away.
Now, some people might say
that's their strategy.
Yeah, and some people might say, well, you know, it's Trump's personality that brings out all this stuff. It's Trump, you know, using salty language, even in Trump rallies, speaking about political opponents and so forth. But you make an interesting point in your article. Look at Brett Kavanaugh. Here's a guy who worked hard to always have a virtually perfect record and track record and so forth, so nobody could accuse him of anything, and yet the left pulled out all the stops. And there's probably, I'm serious, Scott, there's probably a few million Americans, maybe more, I don't know, who actually believe the lies that were told about Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, I know. The history of the Democratic side taking the gloves off and, you know, using character assassination against their political opponents is very long. And you take a guy like George Bush. George Bush was a good Christian man.
Yeah.
You could disagree with his policies and so forth, but he came at a time where we, you know, where we needed a guy to stand up to terrorism, and he did. He was a nice guy, really. They trashed his 8-year presidency. He left the presidency at the end of his second term with a 26% approval rating.
Wow.
Because they committed character assassination against him. It's high time that we have a Republican president who will stand up and fight back.
Well, we do. Trump.
Yes, that's why he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected not because everybody liked everything about him or even agreed with all his platform policies, but they felt it's time that we fight back. We want a patriot who believes in our Constitution. We're willing to accept all of his warts and flaws because he's going to be a man to support the Constitution of the United States and fight back against those who would tear this country down.
You know, there's a phrase that that comes along these lines. Well, he died of 1,000 cuts. That's probably my biggest concern about Trump, that he's trying to fight back and so forth, but he may end up dying of 1,000 cuts because this committee's going after him, that committee's going after him, the media's going after him, all these, you know, the culture at large is going after him. Anybody who supports him, you wear a hat, like a Make America Great Again hat in public, and you're crazy. You're taking your life into your own hands. You might get beaten up. There was somebody chronicled more than 500 examples of violence against Trump supporters. And so we're at a point where, you know, could the president die, as they say, of 1,000 cuts?
Well, you know, as the title of the article implies, Trump was raised up for such a time as this. I don't worry too much about Donald Trump. He seems to be wired to actually thrive in the face of brutal opposition. It doesn't affect him. He keeps going. And
he's like one of these wrestlers on TV, you know, the Trumpster, you know, or whatever.
He's not just the Energizer bunny. He's the Energizer boxer. He keeps getting into that ring and keeps punching.
Yeah.
And, you know, more power to him because that's what we need, because the opponents of Trump want to take him out and want to take the country in an entirely new direction, which would take our freedoms away, take our Second Amendment rights, diminish them, eliminate them, and the state would have more power and we would have less freedom.
Right. In a country founded for religious freedom, which
we
then extended to everybody else, we are losing our religious freedom, and Trump is supporting this. But what about the soccer moms, you know, getting offended by, Trump tweeting this and that and the other?
Well, I give more credit to the soccer moms than the media ever will. The soccer moms understand life because they've lived life. They've raised kids. They've seen athletic sports. They know, you know, that people are flawed. And they also recognize results. The results that Trump has delivered have been remarkably and starkly better than what we were living under the predecessor president.
Sure.
Do we want to go back to a socialist model where, you know, where opportunities are more limited, where wealth creation and advancement are more limited? Or do we want to continue a path where more opportunity is being created?
Okay, we have
soccer
about
moms will vote for the latter.
Okay, we have 45 seconds left. What about the blue wave in 2018, or was there a blue wave? Your thoughts?
There may have been a blue wave in the congressional election. There certainly was a pickup in seats.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was some voting irregularities in some of those districts.
Ooh.
But the more American people have seen what the Democrats are about, that the ends justify the means, that they will destroy people of good character like Brett Kavanaugh to get power, the more American people are going to say, what happened to the party of Harry Truman and John F. Kennedy?
Yeah.
It's not the party of America anymore.
Mm.
It's a party of power. It's a party of
Saul Alinsky.
That borders on a fascist approach to governing,
yep.
A socialist approach.
Yep.
This is not what America has been.
Okay,
it's not the future of the country if the American people wake up to it, and I think they are.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. ScottPowellDiscovery.org. ScottPowellDiscovery.org. Thanks, Scott. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.